Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Wet like on book. Wet like on book. Wet like on book.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
Hello there and welcome to the Empire of the Suns podcast. My name is Kellen Olson. I'm a writer, editor, reporter for ArizonaSports.com. Sitting on the other side of this table from me is Kevin Zimmerman, who holds those same titles at this beautiful website and beautiful building. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Are the bosses listening to this? Just got to compliment the building too, huh?
No, that's not Scott Sutherland looking at me through the other window.
I actually looked.
Yeah, oh, you actually did.
Yeah,
wow, I actually got you a little bit. Chad Benson sitting over there doing good stuff on the other side of that glass, but that's the only audience we have tonight, today, besides you lovely listeners. Speaking of lovely listeners, just no transition to Dragan Bender there. We're going to talk about Dragan Bender a bit and then get into a bit of a trade deadline. I don't want to call it a preview, but just a discussion. I think we're going to talk about mostly how we think a potential move could happen or more likely not happen.
It might be a brief discussion, but we should have that discussion because it's coming. February 7th, right, is the day.
The Grizzlies are listening to offers on Mike Conley. That's usually the type of player teams don't listen to offers on, and he's available, so we'll talk about him in a bit. But first, there is a Dragan Bender moment happening. I don't really know what else to call it. There was a really weird thing that happened with my Twitter where I tweeted out the update on Ayton and Holmes, I believe, saying one of them is questionable, one of them is doubtful, and everyone responded saying, I don't care, Bender's starting anyway, Bender's the best, we love Bender, and just all this Bender love, and I've never seen so much Bender love since before the draft, probably. It's really weird, and I think it's just part meme, but also kind of serious, in that the way that he is playing is actually encouraging and good to see.
So I was at last night's game, and you could
Minnesota.
Tell.
Yeah,
second Minnesota game. Yeah, You could tell on Twitter this is gonna happen because the away game. Obviously, that's all we can judge. But since we don't travel, but last night he did like I don't even remember what the things were. Whenever he was involved, there were people like an audible groan. The first three things, good and bad. And you could just feel like this fan base has either had enough with him or is going to get super excited when he does something. He had another double-double. I honestly don't think Karl Anthony Towns putting up 10 and like 4 in the first half was much of his fault. Like, if the Suns were gang rebounding at all, he and Josh Jackson were the only guys getting more than a board by deep into the second quarter, if I'm not mistaken, then that would have looked different. He was doing his best. If you can hang with Karl Anthony Towns and your Dragan Bender playing the five, this kind of changes how you view him because he's been jerked around from small forward when he was way too skinny to play NBA basketball to now when he's still only 21. And even if he's going to shoot 35% from three for the rest of his career, that's still different than most centers. And if he can defend, and that's what Igor said before the second Timberwolves game, is if he is focused on defense, that's the most positive sign for him because that's how he's going to stay in this league. So two promising games against a really tough guard in Karl Anthony Towns and two losses in very different ways look positive because you saw those flashes. Now, if Ayton and Holmes come back, who knows whether he can even find spots in that rotation. TJ Warren too, because he can maybe slide to the four, but it's good to see, not just because the Suns might keep him or might not keep him, whatever you believe, they probably won't or don't want to. That's why they didn't pick up that deal, but yeah, it's good for him because you got to believe that they didn't completely whiff on that pick.
Man, it's different to see him play like this because he's essentially, when we envisioned him on draft night, I wrote the piece that him and Marquise Chriss can play together, but Bender's going to have to be the five just because of his size and everything. And the way that he's playing just like a center, he's playing like a center that has a jump shot and can dribble twice, which is pretty much kind of like Rashawn Holmes in a way. Rashawn Holmes doesn't really have the jumper, but he can dribble. Ayton has the jumper, but can't dribble.
Yeah.
There's a little divide there. So he's been playing like a center, and that's been the most alarming thing in terms of a difference. He has 12 offensive rebounds this season. How many did he have last year? Take a guess. 2,069 nice minutes last year.
10.
40. So you were a little low, but he's played 167 minutes this year.
I should have realized he played a lot.
Yeah, 167 minutes he played. He has 12 this year, and then last year in over 2,000 minutes, he had 40 total offensive rebounds. He shot 42% on two-pointers last year, 69 of 162. And this year he is 15 of 22 from two, shooting 68%.
Okay.
This year from three, he is 3 of 25. Last year, he was shooting 36% on about three attempts a game. So it's been this weird role reversal type of thing. I think Jeff Allen, as he's known on this podcast, Geoff, what did Giverman call him 3 years ago? Was it Geoff?
I think.
Geoff, yeah.
Yeah.
Shouts to Geoff. That's a very deep cut of Empire of the Suns that only Jeff and like three other people are going to understand, including
thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with us, that one other person who gets that joke. The role reversal is kind of fascinating because you wanted him to be this multidimensional guy because that's where the most of his value was. He can shoot threes, he can dribble, he can pass, he can play post defense, he can be a weak side rim protector, he can switch and slide, no problem. And now it's sort of looking like, no, we're just going to play him as a traditional center, and that's where he's, I don't want to say he looks the most comfortable because it's only been two games, but he's playing the best basketball of his career over a two-game stretch so far, just because he hasn't looked overwhelmed once, and that's the difference. I think the quality of play has been better for him across several other different stretches, but in terms of looking the most comfortable and not being overwhelmed and not making mistakes every time he's out there, this is the best we've seen from him. But the problem is we're seeing that as him playing as a traditional center, and two of the Suns' five best players are centers, including the number one overall pick.
Thought, though, mm-hmm. We talked about this, a podcast or two ago? Rashawn Holmes is playing very well. What if he prices himself out of the Suns' range and you see enough of Bender where you're like, all right, I don't like what else is on the center market. Let's give this guy another shot. We don't need to teach him how to run this offense. He knows it. And he does, as a center, fit like the modern game. And this is what we were always talking about, him as a draft prospect. And look, he's not going to be able to guard threes as well as we probably thought. But if you move him to the five now, then maybe he gets switched off onto a four and he can survive. And look, he was bothering Karl Anthony Towns' shots at times the last two games when it was just one-on-one just because of his length, not his weight, definitely. So I don't know. There's intrigue there, and I think as people who don't want to see a draft prospect on the Suns or any other team just flame out completely, that's fun to watch, I think. And that's why people are kind of attached to him, and Suns fans especially.
And the last season, Dragan Bender in the last two games, 14 and 14, 15 and 13.
Yeah.
We have seen this before. I am not ready to even really discuss his long-term future here until we see this for more than 2 weeks. I think that's fair with how much inconsistency he has had. And it's weird for me to come out with this super rock hard, I need to see him more from Dragan stance than before when I was the guy that wanted him to be in this role more.
Yeah.
It's kind of flipped, but I think that's just how they have to look at it right now with him. And I wonder if he even would want to come back here, if they did want to bring him back.
Right. That's the other thing.
He's unrestricted now. The Suns did this to themselves if he turns out to be something. So if he has another team that, like, of course everyone's making the Spurs example, but there are plenty of other well-run teams out there that could get the most out of him, that could be offering him deals too.
Or it's going to be like the Warriors or something.
Or he could go to Europe, cheap, make more money there, and be back home and
the thing
find
is, though,
himself again as a basketball player.
I have noticed, and I'm sure Igor and the Suns staff knows this a lot better about how he's been practicing and all that to make a better judgment call on this already. But like, he seems a lot more comfortable. He's actually really vocal this year in practices and stuff with his teammates. So he doesn't... He's like come out of his shell almost, and at the very least, he doesn't seem miserable. And this was before the last two games. This was all season long whenever I went to practice. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing to look at. What else?
I think that's it on him. Would you keep him around if you bring back Holmes and Aiden obviously comes back, and say he plays AC's minutes the rest of the year as a backup four and he does this well,
yeah,
would you bring him back?
If he's the vet minimum, I think stability and bringing guys back and keeping the same guys around each other is good. And obviously they know more than me about whether he really is like working hard, whether he's committed and wants to be here, all that stuff. So
still 21. It's hard to,
yes,
hard to believe. Aaron Holiday is over a year older than him. It's the type of hindsight, not hindsight, but just looking back on past drafts and forgetting that some of these really younger guys still have a long ways to go and oftentimes don't find themselves until they're 22, 23, 24, and that's what could be happening with him. This is the same thing we would say about Alex Len, though, and we kind of figured out where that went. So we'll see. It'll be a lot more interesting to talk about in a couple of weeks, I think, once we've had more games, but it's a very small sample size of mostly good things. I don't think there's, besides missing threes, which is just what shooters do,
right,
like
yeah,
they go through, he's going to be fine. He's still going to shoot well. But he hasn't really done anything wrong except that he hasn't had those brain farts he usually has on the floor. So I think it'll be interesting to see once he has those, because he will, how he responds, and then if it still affects his play like it has in the past, where he would not really completely shut down on the court, but just look lost all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Whenever things would go wrong.
Confidence has always been the thing.
Maybe he got over that hump like in the off season and we just never knew. We just never really knew. People cite like preseason and all that kind of stuff and summer league and whatever and whatever. The trade deadline is coming up. It is on the same day as the All-Star draft, I believe. It's February 7th, which is going to be fun.
Awesome, yeah.
See if someone gets an All-Star gets traded.
I like how they pushed it ahead of the All-Star game just to make, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess it doesn't matter as much if it's the draft. It's you're getting the same dude.
Just about 2 weeks away from today, the big news this week was Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reporting that Memphis is listening to offers on both Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. That is not a, these guys are on the trade block, we have to move them type of move, but it is a step in the direction of Memphis finally blowing it up and rebuilding around Jaren Jackson Jr. and whoever else they can potentially get in the draft. And
Dylan Brooks.
Can't forget about Dylan Brooks. There's some sort of pick thing in there where if they are too good, they lose their pick this year, I believe. There's some sort
something
of wrinkle
Celtics,
like that.
Yeah.
Celtics have
I think
everyone's
it is,
draft
right?
picks.
I'm not just making that up, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. They just have everyone's draft picks. We just have to accept it. Let's talk about Mike Conley, because he is, if we look through all the names in the past 2 years that have become available on the market at the point guard position since Eric Bledsoe went away, which was not 2 years ago, it was more like a year and a half ago. But either way, they have been looking for that guy on the trade market to become available. I don't know if he's as perfect as everyone thinks he is. Very mixed response from me last night in terms of how people felt about acquiring him. He's 31. He's had a bunch of injuries. Steve Nash was 30 and he had the back stuff. So there's two sides to everything. And on this, there definitely is. But without a doubt, what I can say is that if he is healthy, which we have to say with Mike Conley, if he is healthy, he's going to play at an all-star level for the rest of this season. He'll be just about there next season. And if he gets a little bit worse, I don't think he's going to fall off a cliff and be bad. He has two more years left on his deal after this year. And it's exactly the type of guy we've been talking about in terms of a player of that caliber who has seen a lot and been through a bunch of playoff series and can come in here and he would be the Suns' best player. I'm not afraid to say that out loud. He would be the Suns' best player when he came in here and could help get this group over this hurdle of 30, 35 wins and up into the 40s and hopefully in a playoff appearance before he would depart on his contract. But still got to get him. And you still have to evaluate this from outside of Arizona, which is a lot of teams are going to want Mike Conley, I think. His contract is big, which complicates things, but I think this is going to be a pretty competitive trade market for him. Do you agree, disagree?
I don't know if it'll be competitive just because there are not that many teams that need a point guard that want to take the risks that we discuss when you discuss foot injuries, age, contract. Because the contract's also the thing. That's where the trade becomes very different than, say, Kemba Walker. Well, the Suns can go after Kemba Walker as a free agent and see if that can happen. Not many teams can go after Mike Conley and take on, what, $32 million?
So for those not familiar, he, I believe, was the first player to get the Supermax or some sort of... He was the highest paid player at one point in the league for a while because he was one of the first guys to get this huge deal. Makes $30 million this year, $32 million the year after, and then $34 million in 2020 to 2021. I believe there is a part of that $34 million where $10 million of it is not guaranteed unless he plays, I believe, 50-55 games this year. It's some sort of clause like that, and he's only missed one game this year, so he's going to get his money.
It's early termination, but you don't turn down that much money.
No, you don't. I look at a couple of teams I think are out there, though, that could fill that spot. It's kind of weird to say. The Spurs come to mind. The Sixers come to mind if they just want to get weird and do a big four and go for a title right now.
Yeah.
And just abandon all hope for anything else and just do the Jimmy Butler thing times five and just say, this is our group. We're going to go try to win a title this year. There was one more team that that came to mind. Indiana is another one where they could look at the East and say, yeah, we're a Conley Oladipo backcourt away.
But you're going to strip everything you got.
But you're going to have to give up a lot, which is where...
And not as good of things as Suns could, yes.
And that's where this kind of maybe isn't as competitive as I think, because the asking price is going to be a mixed bag. Matt Moore was tweeting about it last night, and Memphis is looking at this like, these are our two franchise cornerstone players. They're going to go down as the two greatest Grizzlies of all time. And other teams are looking at them like, I don't want that 31-year-old on a 3-year overpaid deal. What? And that's going to be the divide in value and where the Suns can come into this type of market, and perhaps they don't have to be in a market where it's the Anthony Davis market, where it's Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and 3 first-round picks or whatever, or it's Boston giving up one of Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. It's sort of lower than that, where the Suns could throw in their first-round pick, one of their wings, one of the point guards, another pick perhaps, and figure something out.
Yeah, I think that's actually realistic, where you look at it, let's say the biggest thing is going to be that first-round pick this year. And if you put a protection on it, maybe you throw the Milwaukee pick in. Okay, so we got 2 draft picks that are... One's pretty good, one's not terrible. You might probably have to give up a forward. Take your pick if you don't like TJ or Josh or Mikal Bridges. People are going to jump on that one. But after that, what's the filler going to be? Like, maybe a Kobo, Ryan Anderson for money.
That's where all of these trades fall apart. This is my favorite.
But the thing is, you have leverage if you're we want to get rid of Mike Conley and Marcus Gasol's contract so we can start rebuilding now. Do we want to wait another year, or do we just want to be like, you know what, if you're giving us 2 first round picks and a pretty good rotation player, that might be all it takes. Like, people are, it's like baseball. People are being smarter about what they're willing to give up, and everything's more realistic. It's not like the Carmelo Anthony deal, which seems like it was a lifetime ago, I guess.
Like, but those NFL trade charts for draft picks and stuff, how much value are you actually getting and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Memphis's perspective, I think you can see it in 2 ways. What I was going to say earlier was, I always come back to the Vivek Ranadive, Buddy Hield example, where he believed that Buddy Hield was the next Steph Curry, and that is what pushed the DeMarcus Cousins trade over over the edge. And at the time, Buddy Hield was not, turns out Vivek had was onto something with old Buddy Hield. But at the time, it was like, that's it? And then we learned that Sacramento really loved Buddy Hield, and it's like, okay, those types of factors always swing these types of deals in one way or the other. Does Memphis want to take on Ryan Anderson's whatever it turns into, 15 or 16 to match Brandon Knight's? I believe it's 22, but it goes down to about 16 or 15, and the Rockets take on that extra $6
million. Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Do they want to have that money on the books for the another year? It seems like the consensus is Memphis knows they have to take on some sort of money when they get rid of Conley. And if it's a expiring contract next season, I don't think that's too bad for them, but that's just from our perspective and not from theirs. And what do they think of Josh Jackson or TJ Warren? What if they're not fans of both? What if they want TJ, but the Suns want to give up Josh? What if it's the opposite?
Yeah.
What if they don't want long-term money? What if they don't want TJ Warren on that deal? What if they like TJ Warren more than Josh, but they don't want long-term money? It's all these types of things that come down to it. And what if they're not fans of this draft class? What if they don't? It's a lot of different things. What if they only want the pick if it's unprotected, which at that point the Suns have to put at least a Zion protection on a pick if they trade it.
Yeah.
They have to at least.
Next year, it's like, whatever, you guys better be getting everything together by then. If you're trading for Mike Conley, that doesn't matter. Yeah.
But I think the overall point here that I think you and I are both on is the Suns have Devin Booker, they have DeAndre Ayton, and everyone else is expendable.
Yeah, and I mean, look,
I think Mikal Bridges is someone I'm really, really trying not to give up. Really, really trying not to give up. If I have to in a Mike Conley deal, I would seriously think about it. But it would just depend on the other factors, what's in the deal and yada yada. But he's a guy that I would like to keep. But everyone else is expendable.
So we're kind of on the same parameters for what you would trade. But like, are you confident Mike Conley is going to like be at least make them that good? Like, I'm looking at Chris Paul right now. Chris Paul's 2 years older than Mike Conley. Also has lots of injuries. Is considered point god. So if you get something like him, who's a good shooter, is good enough athlete where, hey, if he stays on the court, even if he ages, it's not the biggest deal because he's a good defender. He can shoot. He makes the right passes. So I like him from that perspective where the age thing doesn't matter. The injury thing, the foot ones are the ones that scare you. But yeah, I wouldn't say no to thinking about a deal, yeah.
You're more of actually betting on Booker and Ayton when you trade for Mike Conley.
Right.
Because if those young guys can progress with a veteran top 10 to 15 point guard in the NBA, I think he's certifiably top 10 right now.
Yeah.
He'll probably go down in a year or two. But if Booker and Ayton can develop the way that they should and improve drastically with a point guard like this, which they should, then Conley is worth it no matter how good he plays. I think we can certifiably say that he will be a good NBA point guard for the rest of this contract.
Now, 3-4 years.
How close will he be to an all-star level like he is at right now? He has started to... Gasol really fell off a cliff the past month or so, I want to say, and Conley was certainly in the discussion for an all-star spot a couple weeks ago, and then I think he sort of fell off a bit too. Where exactly does he fall on there doesn't matter to me. I think it matters more how much they internally believe in Booker and Ayton making a big jump next year and the year after when you're paying Conley this much money, because that's what you're betting on.
Yeah.
You're re-signing Kelly Oubre, you're bringing in Conley, and you are grabbing your 7-8 guys, whatever is left. Let's just assume TJ is the guy that goes. I would assume that he has more value right now than Josh Jackson. Actually, that's tough.
I don't know.
That's
The long term kind of complicates it, but yeah.
But let's just assume it's one of those guys.
Yeah.
So at point guard, I don't think you get rid of both point guards on the deal. I think one of Mountaineer or Kobo stays.
Yeah.
And if they want, that's the other thing Suns fans don't want to think about. What if they say we want Melton? And that's where Suns fans kind of...
Well, you'd do it, I guess.
Yeah, you kind of have to do it, which Suns fans are going to hate because they think he's the starting point guard next year. So that's a bit of an issue. But okay, you have one of those guys. You have Booker. You have Oubre, Bridges, one of those two wings. So that's five guys. And then you've got Ayton is six, and then Conley is seven. So you've got your seven guys there.
Backup center. probably can't bring Oubre in. Holmes will just say, Holmes is gone.
Holmes would be gone.
Got to have a loss here.
Maybe that's where Bender slides into what we were talking about earlier, but that's eight guys. You've got your seven guys to be with for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And then you go from there. So that's the type of long-term thinking they have to have with this type of deal.
And the thing is, too, I know it's when we talk about this guy's like the perfect, what the Suns need, I don't think it's a rush to say that they do need to do something, because we've discussed this and we'll kill it to death toward the offseason, but otherwise you're banking on them selling free agents. And I'm not certain that this team is in position to do that. By the way, have we even discussed that they still haven't hired assistant GMs and stuff? I just need to throw that out there.
It has been like two episodes.
Let me just say there are assistant GMs for other teams last night at the game, and they are doing things like looking at pro basketball players on other teams, not to scout, but to scout them for, would we ever want this guy on our team? The Suns don't have people to do that.
Is anyone watching Jarrett Culver right now?
If James Jones is at the gate, then that's one guy down. I don't know. Sorry. I just felt like that was necessary to bring up again. I tweeted
it. We
have
to bring it up every time until we know, because it has to be put out into the universe. We were going to run through a couple of names here and there, but I don't really think we need to. And this is where we kind of say, if it's not a Mike Conley type guy, you've already taken too much time. What's the point of getting Jeremy Lin now when you should have gotten him 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago?
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell was an interesting name to talk about 2 weeks ago before he turned into an Eastern Conference Player of the Month candidate in January and is averaging 24-8 right now and leading the Brooklyn's won 17 of the last 22 or something.
So or throw money at him and make Booker recruit him in the offseason.
So he's out right now, but yeah. I think looking ahead to free agency, I think that's where you more... That's really... I don't... Terry Rozier, he's been so bad this year.
Yeah.
Rozier has that. I think that trade is sort of faded away. Man, we were talking about him in November, October when we were sounding all the alarms and saying, like, yeah, you should do this for one of these guys. I'm not even sure if he's been so bad this year that I'm not even sure you can talk about him in that regard anymore as a guy you should definitely trade for, even with their current situation going on right now and how he's young and fits the core and plays defense and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Free agents in this class. Kyrie Irving has a player option. There's a very interesting story there in Boston the past couple of weeks surrounding him. Kemba is unrestricted. Then you've got Goran Dragic with the player option and Eric Bledsoe unrestricted. Yeah, let's keep moving on. Terry Rozier is restricted, who we brought up. D'Lo is someone we brought up as well. D'Angelo Russell is restricted. Ricky Rubio is an unrestricted name a lot of people have brought up that kind of fits the
Igor.
lower tier of the Mike Conley group as yeah. well. Derrick Rose is unrestricted. I'll move on. Spencer Dinwiddie just signed a contract, so he's not unrestricted anymore. Darren Collison is sort of the next tier down from Rubio, where it's veteran point guard who low-key wasn't that good on really bad teams a couple years ago and didn't seem to like really vibe in those situations, a la George Hill. But now he's in Indiana playing well still. Jeff Teague has a player option. Pat Bev is a guy we've talked about before. Malcolm Brogdon, restricted. Isaiah Thomas, unrestricted. We got all three point guards back in there. There we go. I did it. And last but not least, TJ McConnell, unrestricted. There are names. There are a lot of names in free agency. It's just a matter of how the market falls into place. But I think we can both agree that in terms of making a move at the trade deadline, anything can happen, anything can come up, but I don't think the Suns are in a position where they sell off guys for picks. I don't think they're in a position where they bring in a marquee name, unless it is someone who really slides in there well with what they want to do, which is Mike Conley.
Yeah, if things pop up, we can hit in the next podcast. Other names, I mean.
Yeah, we still got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just sort of forecasting ahead. A weather term for the listeners at home.
By the way, Devin Booker got in a fight or something with Jang, and we didn't talk about that, but it's kind of like, It was fun to watch. That's my take on it.
My take is,
dude,
what are you
my
doing?
Timeline is too many people like yelling at Booker being immature. It's like, guys, let's not overreact to things. Enjoy your basketball. Enjoy when people want to fight.
At the same time, what is he doing? Like, come on, man. The emotions got the best of him, but when
he put his faith on the security guards to stop both of them.
Shouts Max. Mac's a very nice guy.
Yeah.
Grabbing him by the waist. Banned.
Jordan Bird said that's like the, is that the copper tone or is that the other sunscreen, the baby one where the baby is being pulled
in
the pants?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
It's a little weird now.
That's where you kind of should relax. Once you're being dragged by the waistband by a security guard, maybe that's where he toned it, but he kept running.
Yeah.
I was just like, what is this guy doing, man? Jing must have
just
said
know there are reasons something. There are locks in the doors in the tunnel underneath that you can wall off certain sections. I never thought of that before. I thought it was to keep the cold out when the cold is there.
Catherine drew a very lovely illustration of the hallway.
I needed that.
Yeah. I tweeted that at Rob, Worldwide WAP, because I was trying to break it down for him and being like, you don't get it. There's this super long hallway and it would have been this really dope thing where they would have been like sprinting at each other.
Yeah.
Would have been very.
Yeah. It's too bad they ruined it.
It's too bad they ruined it. That's the saying of this podcast, I think, in general, the Phoenix Suns. All right. We'll be back next week. As usual, follow us on Twitter. That is at Empire of the Suns. There's an arena vote ongoing right now, as we discussed. Looks like Greta is making some comments, as KTR's Taylor Kinnerup is reporting. Shouts Greta.
Greta.
Love Greta. Big fans of Greta here on the Empire of the Suns podcast. Give us a review if you'd like. Subscribe if you'd like. It's all up to you. I'm not going to make you do things, but come back next week if you want to listen to more. We'll see you then.